heal our broken hearts. Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.
And welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, fired up to be your host again for the next 30 minutes as we have a conversation about faith and how to integrate our faith into all the areas of our lives. On this show, we share testimonies and faith journeys, and they're intended to encourage you if you're already a believer, and maybe challenge you a little bit if you're still checking out faith, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. So that's what we do on this program. We like to share the Word, and we pray that it touches your heart today. We like to start the program with a scripture reading, and this is one that jumped off the page to me. It comes from the Gospel of Mark. It goes like this. We're in the 10th chapter. Jesus gathered his disciples together and said to them, "Those recognized as rulers of the people and those who are in top leadership positions rule oppressively over their subjects. But this is not the example you are to follow. You are to lead by a different model. If you want to be the greatest one, then live as one called to serve others. The path to promotion and prominence comes by having the heart of a bondslave who serves everyone. For even the Son of Man did not come expecting to be served by everyone, but to serve everyone, and to give his life as the ransom price in exchange for the salvation of many." Again, that's Mark chapter 10, verses 42 to 45, and it comes to us today in from the Passion Translation. Thank you again for joining us on Everyday Faith Radio. I want to remind you that all of our podcasts are loaded on iTunes, and we also have a website. It's everydayfaithradio.com. Thanks again for tuning in this morning. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with today's guest. Please stay with us. And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle. Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today, back with us is my friend Pastor Paul Harris is with us. Paul wears many hats in this community. He's a great friend and a wonderful follower of Jesus, and now has launched Victory Church here in Charlottesville. Paul, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. It's good to be here.
Well, I want to talk about the church. Before we do that, because I'm keenly interested in how that is going, before we do that, I want to touch down on today's scripture read. You know, Jesus talks about this different model, and of course, I've read that scripture before. But when I get to it in a reading, it tends to jump off the page to me, where he talks about, you know, it's you're not necessarily to come here and striving for greatness, I think, is applaudable. It's admirable in many ways. But Jesus gives us a different path to greatness. And a different paradigm, if you will, to use kind of the business phrase. And it's countercultural, and it's not the way that we are necessarily genetically and DNA built, because, you know, we want to be number one. And so then, you know, and I can speak from the business side, you know, you real estate broker, you want to be a top real estate broker, top real estate guy, and you get caught up in chasing in that direction. And Jesus says, now hold on. The path to greatness is to serve others. And for me and kind of my world and my family and business world, it kind of brings it all back. And it's kind of a refreshing, if you will, kind of a glass of cold water thrown on my face. And it kind of gets my attention and says, okay, this is we're back to doing the way, the Jesus way, the Jesus path. How does that passage touch your heart today, Paul Harris?
That's an incredibly impactful passage for me. You hit on it. The thought that I had was countercultural. Mm. And everything about our faith is just that. I think about you know, if in order to live, we've got to die to self, right? And in order to be first, we got to be last. If we're going to be exalted, we got to get low and be humble. And it's something that on a daily basis challenges me to not conform to the ways of this world, as Romans 12 talks about, but literally in view of God's mercy, the first verse of chapter 12, to offer my body as a living sacrifice. So when I saw that verse, I thought, God, firstly, forgive me for the ways that I've not done that, the ways that maybe I've given in or succumbed to the cultural trappings of success, whether it's in the education sphere that I'm functioning in now or otherwise. And by your mercy and grace, help me to die to self more every single day and lead the way that you lead. No greater love has any man for another than to lay down his life. And I think in following the example of Jesus, we are going to come to serve. So this is, it's encouraging, it's convicting. It's a really good reminder for me to remember that we do, as followers of Christ, operate on a different set of rules, different rule book.
Yes, and we remind each other in the company that I'm fortunate enough in, and the colleagues that I get to interact with, we remind each other of the importance of really, as Jesus modeled out, how to be a foot washer. And yes, there are goals that we are striving for. And yes, there are numeric calculations that we need to hit in order to stay in business. And so we recognize that. But when we pull it back and really kind of peel the onion back to its core, where we are working at our highest level of efficiency is when we stop and serve our clients and really serve them and love them and let them come out of the interaction with us saying, you know, maybe they say that, you know, there was something different about that. There was something that just tasted a little bit different. It wasn't just, you know, we're rolling on to the next sale. It was, you know, how may I serve?
That's so good.
So, I do want to hear about Victory Church. I am so happy for you and for our listeners that don't know the story, and I'll let Paul tell it, but I've been watching, you know, kind of and cheering you on and praying for you, and because a lot of people say they want to do this. A lot of people say that they want to step out. Gee, I want to be a pastor. Gee, you know, I've got the calling. I think I have the calling. And then something comes in the way and it freezes them up. And then a decade goes by, and they're like, "Well, you know, I thought I had the calling," and but you kept you got so if you could for our listeners, maybe kind of go back and then fast forward to where we are now.
Wow, yeah, where to start on that one, Jeff? God has certainly been he's always speaking, right? But it's usually me that has to heighten my sensitivity to what he's saying, and there certainly came a point in 2014 where. It was pretty clear that he was calling us to plant Victory Church. I believe he's been working in and through our lives, speaking of my wife Taylor and I, for a long time through our respective professional spaces. I love ministry in the marketplace, but there was something different being spoken around 2014 about how we were to step out in this regard and plant a church alongside amazing churches here in town, many of whom have mentored me in the faith, pastors and yourself and others, lay leaders. But to be a teammate alongside of those other pastors and leaders and churches in a way that could see our city won. And so in 2019, January 6th of this year, we launched weekly services. We were doing monthly services in the fall. And on January 6th of this year, we began weekly services, and we're now at Walker Upper Elementary. Our vision is to see people reconciled to God and each other. And that it's really rooted in all of Scripture, but 2 Corinthians 5 and 18, where the Apostle Paul is essentially telling the church at Corinth, everything that I'm doing, all that you see, it's all driven by God. And I'm here to make him recognizable so that you can be one to him. And out of that, then we can see some reconciliation horizontally, but it begins with that. And so that's our mission, our vision, our call is to see people one to Jesus. And as far as I know, all of Charlottesville isn't yet. So we've got work to do. And that's why we're here. And we're enjoying every minute of it and enjoying the teammates within Victory that he's sent to us to help see that vision come to fruition. And so we're just doing our part in our generation to see that happen.
Well, I'm also curious about this, and this is Everyday Faith Radio, and we have Paul Harris as our guest today, and he's just launched Victory Church here in Charlottesville. I'm curious about this. So whenever it starts and you go to your sheet of paper and you're like, what is the message for this week? And the reason I ask this for you is I often have the opportunity to speak just typically to men's or women's groups in Charlottesville, and I get to that piece of paper and I look at it and it's blank. I'm like, and I have to say, okay, Lord, where do you want me to go? I'm wondering how the message comes about. Can you pull back the curtain just a little bit for a
I'm
like
happy
me?
To. It doesn't come from me, I'll tell you that. A lot of prayer, a lot of early mornings of just sitting with God. I got some really good advice from several folks over the years of having your sermons come out of a devotional life versus your sermons be your devotional life. Mm. Sermon prep be devotional life. I'm probably butchering that phrase, but hopefully the sentiment's coming through. And so each morning it's less about sermon prep and just more about communing with God. And that's where I start. But not unlike you, when I get to writing, that page is blank for quite a bit of time until... literally, the Lord opens up something in a passage that I've read for devotion and says, here's what I want you to share through this lens for the people this week. And I've been praying even beyond that, that God would give me a bit more of a longer view in terms of sermon series and how we might just disciple well the group that he's called us to. And so that's what we're trying to do with his help now.
Do you see yourself down the road maybe taking one of the books and flowing through a book and really kind of breaking it down from that standpoint?
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. We're doing more topical now. Victorious Living was our first sermon series. Then it was Reconciled to God. Mm-hmm. And now we're doing a series on Reconciled to Each Other. But even in that, a lot of my approach to Scripture is very much expository. So I'll take a passage and really pick it apart and get the context of the who, where, what, when, why, and from that kind of facilitate the main point that I think the text is trying to communicate. So in our own way, we're trying to do that, but I would love just to have some time to go through a book. And part of our plans now, actually, is to have some small groups over the summer that might be dedicated to that. But we're still planning. We're still working through all of that. But those are some of the ideas swirling, and I love Bible study. So, yes.
Before we head to the first break on the program, Paul, I'm wondering if you could speak to maybe the person who's just wandered onto this show. Maybe they've never heard it before. It's Everyday Faith Radio. We'd like to talk about God's word on this program, and maybe speak to somebody who has not fallen in love with the word, has not felt the tugging of the heart and been drawn into the scripture and kind of started that journey. Where would you say, or what advice would you have for somebody who that book is not alive and active to them yet? What would you say to that person who's just, you know, I hear what you say, Paul and Jeff, on the radio, and I'm glad for you, but it doesn't work for me.
Wow. I would probably say, firstly, that transparently as I only know to be, if I'm reading Chronicles or Leviticus, I have those days sometimes, too, where I'm thinking, God, what are you saying to me through this? And I know he's saying something through those books. So firstly, I would say it's like building a house. I imagine the bricklayer doesn't marvel at each brick that's being put on that house, but when it's done, how amazing that is. And so to approach it from that standpoint of maybe every day there's not a groundbreaking revelation that changes your life per se, but if getting into your word every single day, meditating on it day and night, like Psalm 1 talks about, Joshua talks about, over time there will be something built that you could not have built on your own. Mm-hmm. And to that end, more practically, maybe the book of John is a really good place to start.
I love it. And, you know, also for that person who just wandered onto the program today, I have found, and again, full disclosure also, Paul, you know, I just finished cycling through the book of Numbers, and there were some days where I was like, you know, are you sure I need to read this? Mm-hmm. And then you get to a passage like this, and I really couldn't connect the New Testament with the Old Testament on this, but you get to a passage in Numbers, it says on the page, it says, you will, and again, my paraphrase, but it's heard again in the New Testament, is that you will find God when you seek him with all your heart. And so he is near. He wants you to discover. He wants to have this incredible relationship with you. But I think there's also some seeking that we need to do on our end.
So good.
And so if you just kind of dig in and open your mind, it'll be a game changer for you. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more of our discussion with Paul Harris and the launching of Victory Church. Please stay with us.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today we have Pastor Paul Harris of Victory Church. And by the way, there is service today at 10:30. Is that right, Paul? 10:30 today. And where is service today?
We're meeting at Walker Upper Elementary School, 1564 Dairy Road. You can access it off of 250, or you can access it off of Rose Hill Drive.
So come on down, and we'll see you at Victory Church today. I know that there was quite a bit of chatter when in the radio station today when people saw Pastor Paul. There was a lot of talk of people that wanted to visit the church, and you're getting quite a good response from the community, quite a bit of support from the community, and so we're praying for you. That everything just kind of continues as God would have it.
Appreciate that. Really do. And we're just praying just the same that God will continue to show up through us.
And I do believe it, just from my view, way back in the bleachers of what you have going on, that a little bit of such a time as this, like it's the timing of this, when you look back on it, you'll be able to say, okay, you know, this was needed right 2019. This was needed right then, right at that time, because as you and I and all our listeners are aware, you know, there's some stuff in Charlottesville that needed to, you know, just really be addressed, and a lot of healing that needed to take place, and for your church to kind of step into that space and lead the way is magnificent.
That's humbling. Yeah, the Bible talks about a man having plans and God ordering his steps.
Yes.
And I know you can attest to that in your own life, and there's no question for us that's been the case. Who knew we'd be back in Charlottesville? We went here for undergrad. We joked about retiring here someday, and God says, no, I got a job for you at UVA in 2011. Go back. I'm thinking, great, we'll go and get tenure and just live out a fun life. And then in 2014, he says, stay there and work and plant this church. So we're just kind of in awe of what God will do when we yield to him.
One of the times prior to us going on the air this morning, we had a chance to talk with one of the employees here at the station, just a sweet friend, Joyce, who I get to spend time with. But before we talk about the interaction with Joyce, I do want to send a special prayer out to our mutual friend, Michael Guthrie, as he is going through some things, and we are totally confident that he will return to full health very, very soon. So, yeah. Brother Michael, we are thinking and praying about you and for you.
Absolutely.
But in the lobby with Joyce, who Michael's become friendly with Joyce, how can you not become friendly with Joyce, who works here at the station? We were talking about the promise. You know, the Bible is filled, God's word is filled with promises from God. I like to talk a lot about, because I've been able to see in my own life how God will provide. And oftentimes we don't see it coming. In our family, we've had to pray. How are we going to do it? How are we going to get through? And then God provides a way, and he's done it again and again and again. When we were talking with Joyce in the lobby, she was talking about the promise of peace. And in particular, she was directing us to Philippians chapter 4, which I've heard you preach on before. And I just wondered if you could kind of maybe take that and maybe kind of give it a couple of comments in terms of what the Father has for us when it comes to peace. I mean, we can have so many different things in life, but if you don't have that peace, you know, everything seems to get out of whack. And, you know, you're here, you are leading a church. You're also working full time. You're a husband, a father. You got all these people kind of pulling at you, do this, do that, do that. But at the end of the day, we've got this peace that surpasses all understanding. Could you kind of give us your view on that?
Yeah. Jeff, what comes to mind is that he's adequate. He's adequate. And I have to lean into that every day, that he's enough. That passage does say not to be anxious for anything. And we know in this world we live in, there's a lot that would tempt us to be anxious, but that through prayer, supplication, part of my favorite part of that is with thanksgiving. So just with confidence already thanking God in advance for the peace that we have in him that's going to guard our hearts and our minds. And that's comforting, that he is adequate. I can find rest. Matthew 11 and 28 says, if I'm weary or burdened, I can come to him and really find the rest that we might, if we're not careful, seek to attain on our own or via our own means. And that for me is incredibly encouraging, and it's relieving that I don't have to rely on myself. I don't have to strive, but I can literally, Psalm 91, another favorite scripture, I can dwell in the secret place of the Most High and rest, find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So that the word that comes to me, Jeff, is that of his being adequate. Mm-hmm. And me being reminded of that and living as such every day. And I think that's where the tension comes, right? Like, do I really buy into behaviorally that truth, that promise that in him we can have rest, we can have peace, we can overcome, that there's a way out of every temptation, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, or is it just head knowledge and rhetoric that I can kind of spit out? And that's my prayer for all of us to see that lived out in our lives, that he's adequate.
Would you go a little bit deeper on that passage with respect to, it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What's that mean?
What's that mean? Ooh.
Like, how is the peace of God going to guard our hearts and minds? What's that mean? Is it he's going to build a fort around it? He's going to keep out the enemy, on guard? Like, give me your view on
that. My thoughts on that. Yeah. Well, when I think of being safe, if you're anywhere and you feel safe, like, we can walk through what that feels like physically, emotionally, somatically, in your body. There's no anxiety. There's no sense of worry. There's no sense of concern. And so for me, I'm reminded of what he accomplished 2,000 years ago on the cross. And that in his death for me, in place of me, in his resurrection, through which he proved that he was the Son of God, through that objective work, nothing of my own doing, I can find safety. And so in that sense, I'm guarded by what has already taken place. I'm protected. I am rested. I am blessed, happy. I am joyful. All of what Scripture can say we can find in him. That for me is what I think about with regard to my mind being at rest, to my heart being safe and secure because of his work ultimately on the cross. And that's kind of how I process that. Again, the tension is, do I allow his peace to guard me? Or do I try to say, if I can kind of reference his last word on the cross of "it is finished," do I jump into that moment and say, but not quite yet, Lord. I got a little bit more I can do to help you out. Or do I allow what he's done to do what it was intended to do and is sufficient to do, which is to keep me safe and to guard. So that's...
Yeah,
that's I like it.
One of my favorite pastors, other than Paul Harris, is this guy Bill Johnson of Bethel Church. I've never met him, but I'm a fan of Bethel Church out of Redding, California. Have read a lot of his books, and you know they're constantly on the YouTube channels and so forth. But he talks about, and I've never heard it phrased this way until just this week. He talks about, you know, spiritual warfare. And Paul in Ephesians talks about the weapons that we have. Mm-hmm. But Bill Johnson introduced an idea for me that really connected with me this week. It was the weapon of the renewed mind. And so you referenced Romans 12 mm-hmm. earlier. And the reason I bring that up with respect to the Philippians passage that we talked about is the renewing of the mind daily. And for me, what that means is soaking into God's word. Mm-hmm. And then I do get, my mind is renewed. And when that happens, I'm a different creature than I was before. And it really shows itself when I don't do that. Mm-hmm. And that's where I could say, okay, Jeff, you know, you are off course here because, you know, you're walking around with this unrenewed mind. And so when I'm kind of, again, working at my highest level, it's when that mind has been renewed. And then I liked his phrase on that, the weapon of the renewed mind. I mean, when you're going to step into the day mm-hmm. today and kind of live out that peace that we were just talking about in Philippians, the weapon of the renewed mind.
Yeah, so that's impactful. Mm-hmm. And I know when I leave the house, if ever I leave the house, not having had the time to, it's almost as if I don't want to make a major decision today because I'm working off of a mind that hasn't been, for this day, the daily part of my being renewed. I love that idea of putting on the weapons that Christ gives for us to win.
Yes. Paul Harris, I want to pray for you and for your church, for all of our listeners, for your family. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. And Brother Michael Guthrie, we are praying for you as well. Thank you all for tuning in today. Paul Harris, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
There's still time to get to 10:30 service today.
Indeed.
All right. Thank you all for tuning in. Check out Victory Church today at 10:30.
Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need